Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Remember reading that exciting book as a child and then just skipping to the end so you could know the ending right away? In today's reading, we get some insight into how the Lord is faithful, even to the end. We get a glimpse of the end of things and a reminder to look to the Word of God. The lesson is from Malachi 4, verses 1 through 6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, and you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. The central question that we have in this brief text is this: what should our attitude be when the world is in such a mess? The big idea is simple. Be confident in the Lord's care for us. Let's begin by thinking about books and specifically about a book cover. Be confident that wickedness will not succeed in this world. Judgment will not be held back. I still think of Bin Laden and all the misery his efforts have brought on the world. He seems to be beyond the reach of justice. There are a lot of people like Bin Laden. We still have people who steal from the poor and unfortunate. We have people who make dollars off human misery. We have people in this country who mark up goods and services to the illegals. The promise of this lesson is that there will come a time when the crimes and sins of people will catch up with them. Evil and wickedness will be held accountable. We have many in the world who prefer to walk away from evil. We say that they turn their faces and their backs on evil and unrighteousness. We talk about having the ostrich mentality. If you hide your head in the sand, the evil and wickedness is not there. But we can be in denial, but the presence of evil and good in the universe is a sure thing, and evil may mask itself as good, but it will surely come out in the end. The coming of the day of reckoning is sure. It's in the books. The Bible has a lot to say about sin and evil and wickedness. The Bible tells us that surely evil will be held accountable for its actions. The Bible tells us that sin is a killer and it must be weeded out. The whole reason for Jesus Christ coming to earth was to take on Satan and sin in direct combat. Jesus Christ's triumphant sacrifice on the cross of Calvary paid the price for each of us and the sin in our lives. Today's text tells us clearly that the next thing on Christ's agenda is the sin, evil, and wickedness that has not yet penetrated the world. Lots of people are comfortable with Christ on the cross, but the world would be very uncomfortable, because when Christ returns to earth, there will be a major accounting of the actions of men and angels on this planet. The point? We can know that God is faithful and his care for the world that he has placed us in is fully on his agenda. God has good things planned for renewing this world racked by the rages of sin and with Satan himself. But can people be sure about God's faithfulness? After all, have people not died since Adam and Eve's time, and has not evil and malice and wickedness flourished? We can be confident in God's provision for his people. God's Savior will come. God's promise goes something like this: if you fear and trust me, I will heal your world through my Son. Yes, God will bring righteousness through the Son, but God's people will be part of God's answer to sin and evil. God's people on that day will be set free in a way that is like a calf getting out of the barn after a winter of protection in an inside stall. Those who have thrown in with the evil one will have no power or energy to resist God's judgment. Their willpower and energy will be completely spent, like the ashes of a burned out campfire. The Savior will lead us. This will be no little activity. When Christ returns, he will be in the driver's seat. Christ will direct the show. You and I and all of God's people will have a commander-in-chief who will mandate success. You and I and all of God's people will have specific directions and will do what our Lord Jesus commands. We can have confidence in Jesus Christ, who told us that he was going away to prepare a place for us, that the very proof of his love and faithfulness was his presence in heaven preparing for us. The point, my friends, is this. Many times in God's Word, God's people feel beaten down and devastated. Don't believe appearances, but trust in God. Be confident in what God is doing, because he has already begun the reclamation of the world and the whole universe through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. But can we really know that? What assurance do we have? You know, verses 4 through 6 of today's lesson tell it like it is. Be confident, because God will give advance warning of the end. God kept his promises in the past. History is full of God's faithfulness to his people. If you look at your own family history and at your own life, you will find there the presence of God and his faithfulness to you and those you love. the people that Malachi related to, these Jewish people, they knew what God had done. God had met their ancestors in the wilderness. God had given his laws and promises to their families in a concrete way. All of those things happened because of Moses, the prophet or spokesman for our Heavenly Father. God will send Elijah just like he sent Moses to prepare the way. God assures Malachi's audience that there will be another person like Moses. He will come before God, brings his judgment through the Son, Jesus Christ. That prophet's name is a word in Hebrew. The word translates, "My God is Jehovah." The prophet who will come may have the name Elijah, but he may be just a man who acknowledges Jehovah God. Do you see the connection of this text to John the Baptist? God's concern is for people and families, children and parents. This Elijah will come before the end and judgment. Elijah will place real values before people. He will emphasize God's concerns for each of us, particularly in families. Through this Elijah, God will change the hearts of people from evil to good. There will be rejection of all unrighteousness because of the ministry of this Elijah. Because of the ministry of this Elijah, the earth will be blessed. This does not mean that sin and evil and wickedness will be eradicated. This does mean that Elijah's ministry will not be overcome by the wicked of the world. We would say that you cannot hide God's love for us from the peoples of the earth. Jesus himself recognized that the people of God were concerned with a world that was going downhill. Jesus affirmed that he was not done with the earth, that he was in preparation for a return. That return will bring the resolution to sin, death, and the devil. The point? There is no reason for the Christian to be downcast in this world. There is every reason to be confident that God does indeed have the world by the tail and is in the process of subduing our enemy, the devil, and reestablishing God's holy plan for our creation. We are in the preparation stage, but God's triumph is in the works through the Son, Jesus Christ. Is there a bottom line? We recognize that the world is not the kind of place that we would recommend to a friend. There is evil, wickedness, sin, vileness, corruption, alienation, envy, you name it. But it doesn't make any difference to those who are found in Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross to save us from all of that. In that one event where the Son of God confronted all the ploys of Satan, evil was defeated. Satan and his minions may be in denial. Our human race may be in denial, but God's word affirms that there was not only a massive defeat by the forces of darkness and unrighteousness, but that the beginning of the end, what we call the last day of judgment, was just the beginning. We look for Christ's return, his second coming, where we will receive his full and sure care for us as he overcomes all unrighteousness, where he will set all things right in God's universe. As we end our time together, let us join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at historic Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104. We worship each Sunday at 10 a.m. with a traditional Lutheran service. Zion is located one block south of State Highway 104 near the historical Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Do you want additional information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. God bless you. Have a good day.